Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Karen Allen, a senior research advisor at the Institute of Security Studies. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Lovely to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So obviously when we look at things in South Africa like Eskom, like our water system, that is all managed centrally, does that place us at greater risk?
I think, you know, it's worth sort of putting it in perspective that one has to ask, why would South Africa be the focus of an attack? And secondly, which bits of our critical infrastructure will be most vulnerable? To take the second bit of that question first, basically, there are protocols in place. There are security incident response teams for when there is a cyber attack generically that happens in South Africa. But I think our critical infrastructure, where there's a single point of entry, so, you know, ESCOMs, where telecoms are also, is another good example, it's particularly vulnerable. And to put it in really simple terms, and I'm not a cybersecurity expert, but in very simple terms, you only need to have one go. There's so much information that's concentrated in one place. But if someone wants to mount a cyber attack and create damage or attention, because that's what some of the cyber attacks are also about, you have one focal point and one single point of failure. So that's why there's a vulnerability. We are thinking about this in South Africa very, very carefully. We have a cyber crimes bill that's about to come on stream. It's about to get signed into law. And it does try to put in place and start putting in place regulations that would make us a much, much more robust country, able to mitigate some of the effects of the cyber attacks.
What does that mean? Does that put the onus or put more responsibility on organizations or institutions to make sure that they adhering to a higher standard?
It does. And what it does quite significantly for companies is that it puts an obligation on them to report cyber attacks when they happen.
Right.
Now, that sounds like something really small, but one of the biggest challenges is that a lot of companies, a lot of entities are very reluctant to report cyber attacks when they happen for fear of the reputational damage. And, you know, the real concern is if you don't know it's going on, it's very, very difficult to actually respond to it. Mm. We have something called a cyber hub. We have a cyber hub, which is kind of a point of contact. It's still in its infancy and it's not very well resourced. But theoretically, that's where some of these incidents, if they happen in the private sector, should get reported to. But I think in the meantime, what lots of people are saying within the industry is, you know, we need to start being very proactive and we now need to start introducing best practices so that critical infrastructure attacks, when they happen, information can be shared quickly and something can be done about it. That kind of happens already in the banking sector because, of course, particularly in South Africa, that's where a lot of the attacks have happened, haven't they? Those are the ones that we've heard about, you know, the attacks on
some of
the big banks.
Well, because there's very clearly financial gain there.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And so there's an organization called SABRIC, which is the South African Banking Risk Information Service, that's been incredibly proactive in trying to get best practices into place. So effectively, the membership has a kind of early warning system, if you like, between them, and an effectively code of conduct that says, if, for example, theoretically, Standard Bank were to get hacked, FNB wouldn't take advantage of it and use that competitive advantage to undermine. So it's a really interesting issue. And, you know, there is a very strong case for other sectors, like, for example, the mobile phone industry, the healthcare industry, logistics, to have similar kind of codes of conduct so that when something like this happens, they can respond quickly.
Right, because it's fairly obvious that if it's happened to your competitor, you might well be next.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm. But that also kind of raises the specter of the first bit of the question, why would someone want to attack South Africa anyway? Because there's always been, you know, and you think of the big critical infrastructure that, you know, and what by that what I mean is the water towers, the electricity pylons, the mobile phone network. And that's actually defined, all the bank and the banking sector, and that's actually defined in a separate piece of legislation. And, you know, although we may not necessarily see ourselves as vulnerable to, say, state-to-state attacks, but, you know, the kind of attacks that America has experienced and blamed Russia for, you know, South Africa's already seen that it can be collateral damage and other types of attacks or hacktivist attacks. And that's literally people who are trying it out, who might be a one lone person in their bedroom who are, have the technical know-how to be able to infiltrate a system. And, you know, it's also increasingly become a networked type of crime where groups of people are able to effectively bring down big pieces of infrastructure, at the strike of a key. And because so much of what we're doing now, so much of, say, the logistics, our ports, our rail networks, certainly parts of our electricity networks, think of mines. There's a lot of sensors, and I'm going to put it in very simple language. There's something called the Internet of Things, which effectively is a means by which
things communicate.
Physical objects are networked. Exactly. Mm. Things communicate via sensors. That, you know, imagine triggering an explosion at a mine by sitting on a computer 100 miles away elsewhere. Mm. You know, it's quite frightening if you think about it in those terms.
Doesn't it make it significantly worse that the criminal could be sitting, I don't know, in Uzbekistan, perpetrating a crime in Rustenburg? It's almost impossible to try and enforce this. Is there international cooperation?
Yeah, there is. And it's at various levels actually. And you have to sort of separate out what's happening at state level and what happens among the criminal networks. And the problem is that states may use criminal networks to basically cover their tracks, right? So you might subcontract. And we've seen this happen. We've seen sort of groups of hackers in Ghana being subcontracted for another state to be able to effectively mount cyber attacks. So, you know, the traceability, the accountability is problematic at the moment, and South Africa's heavily involved in this. There are sort of talks at UN level about, between different states on what constitutes responsible behavior in cyberspace. So that's state-to-state, high-level negotiations, which is great. But on a practical level, you need to also start seeing, well, what can we do in terms of different countries responding when there is an attack on their infrastructure?
One of the biggest
challenges is this balance between sort of privacy and security and who's best placed to be able to deal with that response. And in South Africa, there is a real hesitancy about the state security agency being too heavily involved in, for example, private sector.
Right, because we are wary, understandably.
Exactly.
So we unfortunately do need to wrap it up, but just I'd like to leave with a thought and just get your view. How is South Africa doing, and what can individual companies do to just make sure that we are up to standard?
Well, South Africa is certainly in the awareness stakes, but could do an awful lot better. One of the biggest challenges is obviously know-how and expertise, capacity. But what companies can do on an individual basis is exercise good cyber hygiene, make sure that their systems are checked regularly, that they have protocols in place, that if there is an infiltration in their system, that they can close it down pretty quickly. But it's also very basic things like you and I, knowing that you don't just click on a link that comes up on your computer screen without knowing what it is. Obviously, during COVID, we've heard a lot more reports of cyber attacks because people have been at home or people have been doing office working from home, and they've perhaps been naively clicking onto links that and been a bit more casual about that than they otherwise might be. So I think good cyber hygiene is very much at the core of it, and certainly if businesses are able to start considering getting together as sectors to draw up good best practice guidelines, I think that will go a long way to protecting a lot of businesses.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. Karen Allen, the Senior Research Advisor at the Institute of Security Studies.